Welcome to Band of Gamers Podcast, episode number 23. My name is Greylock3491, and this week I'm joined by Zeus Adamus.
Hey, how you doing, Grey? Feels like old times with just the two of us on the podcast.
I know it. Good times to be sure. Well, welcome back to the show, and I get some announcements to make this week. You know, previously I discussed that we had launched our own website, bandofgamers.net. And then more recently, I announced that we had launched, or actually registered with iTunes, and you can now get the podcast on iTunes, which is big for people who have iPhones. But now, today, I want to announce that we not only have a Google Plus page, we also have a Facebook page, and we have our very own Twitter account. So I'll start with Twitter first. Our handle over at Twitter is Band of Gamers Net, N-E-T. There was no Band of Gamers was already taken, so we had to add the N-E-T to the end. Over on Facebook, we're bandofgamers.net. And then over at Google+, we don't really have a name yet, so you'll have to use the link from the website to get there or search on Band of Gamers, and it'll come up. But so that's cool, and hopefully we'll have more announcements in the future. But this way, when we publish a podcast, if you are big into Facebook or Twitter or Google Plus, you'll be able to just see it there. You won't have to go to the website or check out iTunes. So those are my big announcements for the week. Now that that's done, let's move into our first segment. What have we been playing? And Zeus, we'll go with you first. What have you been playing?
So my section is going to be a bit lengthy because most of my commentary is actually about what I have not been playing. So I got to that point by playing a little bit of Crysis on the PC, and then a little bit of NBA 2K16, which is where things kind of fell apart. So while I played Crysis, that was actually pretty fun. So I think I talked last week about some of the PC gaming peripherals I had broken out. So my Belkin N52TE gamepad, I had that hooked up, as well as my Zalman FPS gun FG1000, which is kind of this pistol grip style gaming mouse that I use that is actually pretty neat. And those worked pretty well. My favorite game in that franchise is Crysis 2, which I played through completion. But I just wanted to kind of go back into my backlog and play the first game in the series and see how that held up. And then I was playing NBA 2K16, which I think I talked about a little bit on the last episode. So that brand new game just came out early October. I paid the full $60 price of admission to buy it on Steam. Was playing it with my Xbox 360 controller for PC. And I mentioned last week, you know, it was very confusing getting through the game menu. You know, not when you were on the court, but all of, like, because I play the GM mode, so you're kind of like the general manager of the team and the head coach, and you make all the decisions about your rosters and recruit free agents and all that kind of stuff. And I'd found that really confusing in comparison to the last NBA game that I played, which admittedly was like 6 or 7 years ago. But I was kind of starting to figure that out. There were a lot of bugs. I had to deal with a lot of workarounds. The game primarily just was really sloppy about how it handled the input from the 360 controller and the mouse. You were kind of constantly fighting. They were constantly fighting each other. And I would frequently get to points in the menu where I would get there using the D-pad or the left analog stick. And then I would get to like another level in the menu and it would stop responding and I would have to use the mouse. Get to another level, that would stop responding, and I would have to use the keyboard. So it was just really frustrating. And then in the game menu, or in the game, you know, when you were on court, I'd be using the 360 controller, but you could see the mouse cursor tracking around the screen, you know, around the edges of the screen, because the game was taking the left analog stick input as a virtual mouse. And I, you know, dug around in the menus and couldn't find any way to turn that off. So I just dealt with it, but a few times I kind of experienced the same menu bug that I experienced off court, where I'd try and pause the game and go in and change an option, and it would just get stuck, and I would have to kind of fuddle around between the mouse and keyboard and controller to regain control of the game. And at one point, I started up a game and unplugged my mouse, thinking that would help, and the game spontaneously went to windowed mode, so it popped out of full screen mode and went to windowed mode. And I was like, okay, well, I'll just deal with that. And then at one point, the mouse cursor tracked outside of the game window and snagged like my Steam window, which I still had open, and like the windows overlaid on each other. And then it was just a mess. It was just a total mess. And then the final bug that broke the camel's back was I went to start an actual basketball game, and there were three players. I don't know if you've played a sports game in a while, but it had that classic screen where it shows your team on the left and the opponent team on the right, and has that assignment screen so you can assign a controller to the team and then assign the CPU to the other team. Well, when this particular game came up, there were three players listed for assignment, and when I moved the left analog stick, two of the player icons would move to whichever team I flipped it to. So I was like, well, what the heck is that? Like, I don't know who that other player is. Is that the mouse or what? But again, I just tried to kind of deal with it and move on. And when I got into the game, what it had done is it had assigned whatever control, whatever input that second player, controlling my team, took that and would kind of randomly assign one of the five players on the court to that controller. So the end result was that I would say I would be inbounding the ball, and because I didn't have control of the player like right in front of me, I couldn't pass to that player. It would try and like chuck the ball across half court to throw it to another player who was under my control. In one instance, that player that was under the unknown control got a hold of the ball, and because I wasn't giving it that player any input, that player just stood there behind half court, so I got a back court violation. So at that point, I was done. And as horrific as that story sounds, the real horror started when I put in a request for a refund for a game to Steam for the first time.
Oh, how did that go?
So that went horribly, like way horribly. So I put the request in. I put a lot of detail in about the bugs that I'd seen. And just to spec it out, so I'd had the game for 11 days. I bought the game on the 14th of October. I was doing this on the 25th. I'd had it for 11 games. I had put in 5 hours into the game. Well, I had never really looked at the refund policies for Steam, and their restrictions are, well, first of all, they say they handle every refund request on a case-by-case basis. Theoretically, a human being reviews every case to process your refund. So I'd had the game, so their restrictions are 14 days max. And they also cite an hour limit, and I think the way it's phrased is, we may not refund your money if you have played more than 2 hours in the game. So I put the request in, and it came back denied because I had put 5 hours into the game. So I wrote them back and said, hey, I really think this is not appropriate. The reason I've been in the game so long is because I've been trying to work around all these bugs and glitches on the screen. I also said, your game tracking mechanism doesn't detect when the game is paused also. So I know in one instance, my wife called down and said dinner was ready. So I'd paused the game and gone up to eat dinner with my family and came back down. And so the game was paused for like 45 minutes. So point being, I had not nearly put in 5 hours of actual gameplay time. I'd played three games. I had the game set for 6 minute quarters. So let's just call it 30 minutes a game. So I'd really played at best an hour and a half, really an hour and 15 minutes, because I didn't even finish the third game that I played. I also tweeted at them and just said, hey, this is just way off the radar. And the other thing is it's an arbitrary limit, and I consider the game type, right? This is a sports game. It's an NBA game. I figure this game should have like 120 hours of gameplay value in it. 2 hours is certainly way too constraining to declare that you're not going to give somebody a refund. I got no response to my tweets because I was tweeting at Steam support. I sent back that rebuttal to the original refusal to provide a refund, and I just got the same response back. We're not going to give you a refund because you've played more than 2 hours.
Wow.
Yeah. So I don't know if you remember. I know I've talked about it probably way too much, but if you remember back in 2010, when we were podcasting, and heavily engaged in CAG, I had experienced a fourth hardware failure with my Xbox 360, and had declared that I wasn't going back to Xbox Live. I completely pulled off of the Xbox platform. Yeah, yep. And so my initial response was the same thing, just a scorched earth policy. I went and uninstalled Steam, the Steam client from every gaming PC that I had, uninstalled all of the games, and immediately turned around to try and find an alternative. So the alternatives in the industry now are pretty sad, and it's really a sad state of affairs. And so maybe in some ways it was good that I experienced this to get that exposure. But you know, my first option was, I said, well, I'm going to go buy games from GameFly. Turns out GameFly sold its digital download business for PCs in 2014, and they no longer sell PC games by digital. So I said, well, let me go to Humble Bundle, which is pretty robust. I did not realize HumbleBundle.com is like a full-on, like, digital download PC game store. Have you ever bought anything from Humble Bundle?
You know, I have, but I've never spent much time on the site. Just when they're having a campaign, I'll jump up there and grab something. So maybe I need to take another look at it.
Yeah, they actually have a pretty robust number of offerings. I think if you're a PC gamer, I think you could live on Humble Bundle as a primary source for your games, I think. And I'll come back to why. So I wound up not going that route. I went to my next option, which was Green Man Gaming, which has a pretty decent selection. Experienced a problem there. And then my bailout, and what I had actually walked into it saying was going to be my first choice, was Amazon. You know, because we've posted on the site, you know, each year when they've done the big Amazon summer game sale. And the last time I bought something on Amazon, you would buy it, and then if you logged into Amazon and went to your digital downloads thing, digital purchases, your CD key, your virtual CD key would be there, just like you had bought a disc-based version of the game. Well, with all of these services, the current state of affairs is that 90% of the time you go to buy a digital download from any of those storefronts, the reality is that what you get is you get a Steam key.
Oh, no.
And then, yeah. And so you're still required to have the Steam client installed on your PC. You're still required to have a Steam account. And you get that Steam key, you go over to Steam, you redeem the key, the game shows up in your library, and you can download it. So obviously at that point, I was like, no, I mean, the whole point of this is I've hit the point where I'm no longer, like, I'm not going to roll the dice again and buy another game from Steam. That was the byline that I said. I said, I'm done buying games from Steam. So, but unfortunately, you know, Steam has kind of become the de facto DRM for PC gaming. It's like, no matter where you go, you're going to wind up getting a Steam key, and to find means to avoid that is really burdensome. I mean, you have to spend a lot of time digging. You know, a deeper level of horror is, as I started, like, Googling and researching this, you know, Googling, like, hey, what are alternatives to Steam for buying PC games? I actually encountered stories where people said that they went to a store or ordered online a physical copy of the game. They got the disc, inserted it, and it just gave them a UI with a Steam key, and they were directed to go to Steam and redeem the key and download the whole game. So they'd gone and bought a physical copy.
That's horrible.
Yeah, I'm like, that's so ridiculous. So, you know, because at a certain point I said, well, I'm just going to buy DVDs of the game, which is, it's difficult to do. Amazon doesn't sell a lot of physical copies of new games. And then there's a chance that even if you do that, you're still going to get a Steam key. So my final option was I shifted to Good Old Games, which I already had an account at. I already had like 3 or 4 games that I'd bought over time. But I just basically immediately, you know, at that point I shifted to Good Old Games, went and spent a fair amount of money trying to instantaneously rebuild, a baseline, library of PC games. So I bought like, like 15 PC games from good old games. And GOG is good. They just don't have a huge inventory of new games. They have games that are, you know, 5 to 10 to 15. They have games going way back even further than that. I mean, they have games from like the early 90s and late 80s. So they're a source, but they don't have a ton of like the new stuff. I did buy a copy of The Witcher 3 from them, but there's not a ton of new stuff that is also, you know, have pretty high review scores. So at the end of the day, I backed off another step today and said, well, look, I have like 182 games in Steam. You know, I'm gonna go ahead and reinstall the Steam clients and I'm gonna play those games. But I am definitely at a point where I'm never again gonna. I think if I buy a game, I'm thinking my cap is gonna be somewhere between $5 and $8. But I'm never again gonna buy a game from Steam and cross that price threshold where I have to be concerned about, you know, if the game is buggy, you know, trying to get a refund.
You know, I'm glad you brought this up. I actually blogged about something similar, and I'll go into my story if you don't mind. Over at, I just started my own little blog, thegamersite.com, and I was on my own journey to try to, you know, I really wanted to go fully digital, because over the years, I've really got sucked into Steam and some of those really, really, really cheap games. I mean, every Ghost Recon game for $2, or every Rainbow Six game for, I mean, that's just great, you know? And at that point, $2 is $2. If it turns out not to work right, well, I'm out $2, but it's nothing in the scheme of things. And the convenience when I go to a LAN party and have everything on my computer, even when I recently took my Xbox out of town to hang out with my buddy Mace and do some Xbox gaming, I actually forgot the one physical copy of Xbox One game that I had, Master Chief, and we had to go to Redbox to get a copy. So I'm like, yeah, I want to go fully digital. But, you know, the kind of the take I took on it is that there's problems with that. Number one, you're going to spend more money if you go fully digital than you will if you buy a physical copy. You can go to Amazon. You can go to Best Buy and get 10, 5, 10, 15, 20% off a game. Physical copy, and they will ship it to you, and they will have it to you on launch day for substantially less than what the digital, because there's no discounts on the digital copy. But on top of that, I got my Halo 5 today. So if I would have ordered it digital, I couldn't be playing until midnight. But I got the first level of the campaign done today because Best Buy shipped it to me a day early, which is great. So as much as I want to go 100% digital, you know, for the convenience of it, the fact that you have to pay full list price kind of turns me off. But on the second side, on the flip side, you know, very similar to what you went through, I went through with Forza 6. I have an Xbox One. I have an Xbox 360. I probably have 200 games for that. I have an Xbox One. I probably have 7 or 8 games for that. I got a PS3. I have a handful of games for that. I got probably 100 games in my Steam library. I have no problems gaming online. I mean, I've regularly played Master Chief Collection co-op, Titanfall, you know, and a lot of other games during the week, but I could not get Forza 6 to work. And I tried everything. I tried support. I tried forums. I tried Googling the web. I could not get it to work, and they would not give me a refund. And this is where it kind of came down. Years ago, my 360 controller, as I turned my 360 on, my controller fell on the ground and bought a expansion pass because I had my credit card plugged into the Xbox. And since that day, I will never give Microsoft any of my credit cards because I don't want to buy a digital something I don't need. I don't even have the game. Why would I buy expansion and not get a refund? And so I made the mistake of ordering Forza 6, which wouldn't work for me, even though every other game I had was working. Wouldn't work at all. I made the mistake of buying the digital code. I wouldn't give Microsoft my card, so I bought the digital code from Amazon. Well, because I bought the digital code from Amazon, I could not return it to Amazon, and I couldn't return it to Microsoft, so I was stuck with a game that didn't work. Well, the multiplayer didn't work. Now, eventually, I reset my router to all of the faults, flashed it all the way up to the latest rev, even though every other game I have on every other system I have works. I was like, you know, if they're not going to take it back, I'm going to try to play, because the guys on CAG who play this, they're a lot of fun to play with. And so I finally got it working. But that made me think, you know, first of all, buy physical whenever possible. Get that discount. Unless it's a $1, $2 sale, then go ahead and buy the digital, because if it doesn't work, who cares? But the second thing was, if I'm ever going to buy anything digital from Microsoft, I need to go and buy the Microsoft dollars from Amazon redeem the Microsoft dollars with Microsoft and then buy whatever game I'm buying digitally directly with Microsoft so I can return it if it doesn't work. But again, in the case of Steam, that wouldn't have helped you because you kind of, there's that arbitrary limit. You know, it's a sports game. You're going to play 100 some odd hours in it, but you over that arbitrary limit. And it's sad to hear. It's so sad to hear because 2K has such a great rep on the Xbox. It's sad to hear that they produce such a broken hunk of software for the PC. And you know, I can definitely feel your pain. But you know, it's kind of my own take on it. You know, it's when you buy a game and it doesn't work, you should be able to return it. The mechanisms are in place to make sure you can't pirate it. So what's the big deal? And you know, sometime in the future, they will have to offer refunds for virtual games, like they do for physical goods. But I guess we're not there today. So, but did you have any fun? So you had some fun with Crysis. Did you have fun playing anything else?
I did not, unfortunately. And again, that's what kind of chaps me the most over this is, you know, the $60 kind of burns me. But I dumped a lot of time into trying to, you know, because I've been trying to kind of get spooled up on my streaming and trying to be able to do that well. You know, so I've invested time in, you know, applications and my audio, you know, trying to nail down the audio mix so my voice can be heard above the game audio. And, you know, with NBA 2K16, you know, it's a fairly new game. I had been trying to get to this point where I could play the game well enough to stream. I didn't want to stream while I was, A, trying to figure the game out, but I was also trying to figure out workarounds for being able to get through the menu reasonably quickly. I got some time in playing Crysis, but literally a lot of my time last week was spent trying to work around the bugs in NBA 2K16. I think that game probably plays fine on consoles. You know, where it's not going to have that glitch of dual controller inputs. So I am planning on eventually picking it up for either the Xbox One or the PlayStation 4. That may also be another one of my resolutions. I may just resolve that I'm not going to play sports games on the PC, even though, you know, in the past, historically, I enjoyed playing, you know, sports games on consoles, but I really enjoyed playing them on the PC, where, you know, in years gone by, that was the only platform you could play on where you could get roster updates, you know. So it's a sad state of affairs for me personally, because I think I've been on the episodes of this podcast I've been on, the episodes of my own podcast, Regular Joe Gamers, that I used to do, any other gaming podcast, I'm pretty sure I've dropped something encouraging people to get into PC gaming and telling them that it's not as difficult and complicated, that today it's at parity with playing on an Xbox One or a PS4, you know, extolling the virtues of Steam and its high convenience. You know, and with Steam, I've been on Steam for 8 years. I've bought 182 games. This is the first time I've ever asked for a refund. You know, and to be met with just kind of the anti-consumer stance that I feel like I experienced is just really really discouraging. Because there was probably about a 2-hour window, you know, and I was sitting down making notes and just kind of, you know, looking at notes and spreadsheets I have for, you know, my gaming and where I do it, and just really kind of contemplating, okay, what does it look like if I get out of PC gaming in its entirety? Because if Steam has become, and it's kind of funny too that Gabe Newell mentioned that whole thing about when Windows 8 was coming out about, oh, you know, everybody should be afraid of Microsoft if they're going to force you to download apps from their app store, you know, because it'll be a walled garden and you'll be forced to kind of be funneled through that. I'm like, well, that's exactly what Steam has become. Like, you literally can't get around getting your digital games through sources other than Steam without putting in a ton of effort on your part. And that's just where I'm going now. You know, good old games is going to be my primary source. I'm going to have to be a little more aware and detailed about keeping up with what's coming out for the PC that's new, and be less in this mode of I've hit a trigger point where I think I want to buy a PC game. Let me go back and look at what's come out in the last 2 or 3 months. I'm going to have to be kind of on point and tracking it, you know, when they drop. Because my surplus platforms, you know, my extended platform for procuring those games is going to be going directly to EA, Ubisoft, and Activision to buy them from their digital stores. So like you said with Microsoft, you know, there's no middleman if I buy an EA game, you know, I have a problem with it. Don't know that the refund process will be any better, but at least I'll be dealing directly with the company. So it's a big deal. It's as big a deal as what I went through in 2010 when that fourth Xbox failed. You know, and kind of the same thing. You know, in the first three failures, I had been going back and forth with Microsoft and expressed my dissatisfaction. And you know, I think they'd given me like 3 free games and some other stuff, but I just hit a point where I was like, guys, I can't keep dealing with this hardware failing all the time, and so I'm out. So I'm going to stick with PC gaming, but I'm pretty much done with Steam as far as being a source to procure new games from.
Yeah, I hear you, and that's I mean, it's sad, but you know, that's as a consumer, we only have one thing we can do. When a company wrongs us, and it is to not only not buy from them anymore, but let everybody know the bad experience we had. I had, when I first started driving, I had got car insurance from a company, and back in the day, going back, oh God, 30 years ago, you had to have a physical copy, a proof of insurance to register your car, and it took them 4 months. I paid for 4 months of insurance as a 16-year-old and could not drive. And to this day, I still tell everybody who that insurance company is and tell everybody never to do business with them because they still owe me $350 from, oh my God, was it 1986 or whatever? So all we can do as consumers. I mean, today we are in the midst of, we are at the end of the decade of double downsizing, as I like to call it, and service is at an all-time low in almost every industry, not all, but in many, if not all, industries. Through the double downsizing, service really sucks, and most managers out there who I meet when I go shopping, and no, I don't care if it's a restaurant or if it's a store or where it is, they really are bad. They're very bad managers. And so if you're a manager out there, do your best to be awesome. Don't be like these people who really stink, because I'm tired of getting my coffee with the wrong amount of milk and sugar when I ask for no sugar, and I'm tired for getting the wrong product when I order product A and getting B, and I'm tired for having things broken when they're delivered. Get your act together. So that's my public service announcement. I want to go into what I played this week. I got in some really great Halo 2 co-op with my buddy Mace. Those new cutscenes in Halo 2 are just awesome. They blow me away. But you know what? Whenever I switch back to the old graphics, I'm surprised the old graphics look so good for an original Xbox title. So that's pretty cool, too. Got Forza 6 working. I think I already covered that. Because we're working up to a 30-year anniversary edition of the NES, we're going to be doing conversations or a topic on that next week's show. I've been playing some NES. I actually attempted to stream my NES, my original NES from the 80s, and it didn't go so good. So I'm still working on that. Maybe I'll pick your brain on that. But I was playing Super Mario 1 and 3. I cannot find Contra. Contra is one of my favorite all-time games. So in the next week, I got to find a copy of Contra. I did stream on the Xbox One for the first time. Finally got it working this week. Streamed some Halo 2 co-op. Streamed some Forza. Streamed some Rayman Legends that I played with my grandson. What a great game, but some of those levels are so hard, especially playing with a 6-year-old as your co-op partner. It can be quite difficult. But in any case, that's kind of what I played this week. And if you don't mind, let's take a moment and talk about streaming. Now you talked about this a little bit last week, but give us this because I'm a new streamer as well. So give us a state of the state on Zeus's efforts on streaming. What are you using? I know you mentioned some of this last week, but for those who didn't hear last week's show, what software are you using on the PC to stream? And what are you using for a headset? And maybe, compare that experience to if you've done any streaming on the Xbox One or PS4. Just tell us, what's the current state of the state for streaming for Zeus Adamus?
Yeah, no doubt. And feel free to break in here and interrupt me or ask questions or anything. So let me start with the Xbox One. I have not streamed on the PS4. at this point. So I have streamed on the Xbox One, and I have streamed on the PC. On the Xbox One, 99% of what you need to do is fairly easy. You connect up your Twitch account, and you pretty much roll with it. I actually posted an article about my experiences, my recent experiences streaming on the Xbox One, on the Casual Adult Gamer site. So that's up on the front page if anybody wants to take a look at it. There are some quirks. Number one, from a design aspect, I'm not crazy about how if you go to stream, your Twitch UI shows up snapped on the Xbox One. And it's like, and what I was streaming most recently was Forza 5. In a racing game, I just do not like that right 25% of the screen taken up by the Twitch UI. There's a pretty decent learning curve in streaming. Just getting through the technology, but also getting through some of the conventions. And one of those conventions that I hadn't figured out, but I found out as I started Googling a little bit more, was just go ahead and bring up your chat window on a mobile device. So I did go out and get the Twitch app for my iOS devices and my Android devices. And now what I'll do is I'll have a tablet on a stand or my phone with the chat window up on that, so I can have the game full screen. Were you going to ask something, Gray?
Yeah, I was just going to ask. I hide the Snap. I get the Kinect, so I say just Xbox on Snap, which does mean I can't see what people are saying. But everything I'm doing, I'm just kind of doing off the cuff, so I'm sure there's no accolades. It's probably all critical, like, hey, you're not doing very good, buddy. So I unsnap that, and I just hide it. And I was just, I want to thank you for mentioning that. I'll have to get the app for my iPad so I can actually, once I get better at what I'm doing, I can actually try to stay engaged with the audience. But right now, I'm not broadcasting my voice. I'm just playing, and I've had 4 or 5 people watching at a time. But, as soon as something goes wrong in the game, like my grandson gets us both killed, they usually stop peeling away. But go ahead. I just wanted to throw that out there.
No, and you're absolutely right, and that's very relevant. Because, the whole thing you have to deal with, and I think we tried to have kind of talk about the philosophical aspects of streaming one episode a ways back. And, and that's one of the things I've had to think through is, why am I doing this? Because I will definitely say, what they tell you is that, the best way to get people engaged or to make people interested in your channel is to narrate, or to kind of throw out some commentary of the game as you're playing it. So I do that, and I will readily admit when I'm doing that, my gray matter has to start load balancing, what I'm, enjoying the experience of the game versus the narration, and there are things that I miss and I don't feel as engaged. And they tell you should do that whether anybody's in the room or not. So I do, and that definitely detracts a little bit from the game. But like you mentioned, I was unsnapping the UI before I figured out about putting the stuff on a mobile device. But what that meant was if anybody made a comment, like I couldn't see it, and I wasn't really satisfied with that. So that gets into some of the sketchy parts of streaming on the Xbox One. What I discovered when I was doing it, I think at one point I had my Xbox One connected to a different Twitch account. I think back when I was writing for Gamersphere, I probably had at one point had it configured to punch into their Twitch stream, and then at some point had subsequently changed the connection to my Twitch account, but hadn't actually tested it or used it. The Xbox One can apparently get into a state where it will tell you it is streaming, but if you go to another device and check, you are actually not streaming, but all the UI feedback on the Xbox One is telling you that you are, but you're actually not, because at some point the Twitch authorization for that device, for your Xbox One, has gotten out of sync, and it will actually not accept the streaming connection that your Xbox One is trying to put out. So I had one streaming session where I streamed for like 10 or 15 minutes, and it wasn't actually going to the web, and I had to kind of stop and do a bunch of Googling and figure that out. And the way to get out of it is to actually deauthorize your Xbox One from the web on a PC, and then go back to your Xbox One and re-enter all your login credentials and stuff, and reauthorize it. So I'm glad I figured that out fairly quickly. I'd have been really angry if I had streamed for like an hour or 2 hours, and at that point discovered that the Xbox One has this problem, and also doesn't do anything in any way to inform you that there is that problem.
Yeah, that's interesting. I also got to throw out there too that some of the error messages you get when it won't stream is odd. For instance, I had myself as offline, shown offline. I don't know why. I'm glad it's persistent. In the 360, it wasn't. I'm glad with the Xbox One, it is persistent. But you just get like this error code saying you have to be an adult to stream. Well, no, maybe I just have to be online. I mocked myself as offline. I haven't instantly become a minor, which I wouldn't mind going back in time and being 18 again or 17 or 16 again. But no, that hasn't actually happened. I just left myself offline, so stop telling me I'm a child. The interface works, but it's a little quirky. Especially with those error messages when you don't have all the, you don't have everything set to public. So, but now let's switch over to the PC. So, what's the current state of the PC? Now, you did mention it in the last podcast, and I've forgotten because it's late at night here. What are you using for your? Are you using OBS, or did you go to XSplit, or what are you doing for your PC client for your streaming?
So, I recently switched over to XSplit. I had been using OBS. I'd been trying to use OBS for probably the better part of a year. I think I started streaming like in 2013, 2014, and hadn't done a lot of it on the PC. Did most of it on the what the heck was I even using? On the Xbox One, and on the PC I had been using OBS. My problem with OBS is that it's a very Byzantine application. Like, maybe this isn't the factual case, but I definitely felt this way. I felt like I would figure out and get it configured to stream, and then I would try and go and replicate that configuration, and the next time it wouldn't work. I definitely felt like, with multiple PCs, that I would get one configuration working on one PC, but then couldn't replicate on it. It was just a problem, and it doesn't give you a lot of great feedback. So I wound up going to XSplit, and that thing worked very well, near perfectly out of the box. It's very intuitive on how to set it up. It's very easy to set it up. Depending on what you want to do, if streaming is a big deal for you, that is not the least expensive option, because there's a certain depth of control that you have to be on the subscription service to use. My needs are not that great. The free version caps you at rendering at 720p. What I'm doing with this stuff is streaming, capturing the stream, pushing it over to my YouTube channel, and really most of the time then taking those video URLs and putting them in my Google Plus page so people watch the videos through there. So XSplit has been working out great for me. I've got it on 3 gaming PCs now. It works the same way every time. The only thing I've been running into is I cannot quite nail down a good audio mix. There was a time when I wasn't wearing headphones, and because I wasn't talking, so I had no need for a mic. But then I started talking, and it's like no matter where I reduce the volume, so you can reduce the volume in Windows, you can reduce the volume in XSplit, and then of course you can reduce the game sound volume in the game itself. It seems like no matter where I reduce that max volume, or sometimes when I reduce it in all 3, the ambient background noise of the game itself sounds to be too loud to really hear me effectively. I will say that going to putting the game sound in through headphones definitely helps. For some reason, magically, when you do that, the audio mix changes significantly to where your voice carries a lot better. So So that's where I am right now. I most recently streamed while playing a session of Rage on the PC, and in menu, the audio mix was great. When the game started, the game sound was just a skosh too loud to where most of the time you could hear me fine, but if I got engaged like in a firefight or something, or was on a vehicle, you would have to kind of strain your ear and listen real close to hear me. So that's what I'm trying to get over the hump on now. So great. Let me ask you, going back to that philosophical question. So you said you have been streaming. Why are you streaming?
Well, you know, it's a good point. I had you know, it's you know, years ago I purchased a Hodgepodge HD DVR. You know, the first I think that was the very first HD means to capture your Xbox 360, your PS3 video. There was no HDMI options at the time. And so I wanted to really capture the fun, which was the gameplay when we were gaming, our Halo matches. And Halo's great because Halo always had that recorder going on, so you could always go back if you went back and within enough time, and you could replay those matches, which I think I still have all the matches on my 360. So I can go back and relive those matches, but how do you get them off of the 360 and onto your computer and onto YouTube? And that wasn't something that was really built into games way back then. And so that's why I bought the HD PVR from Hodgepodge. You know, I've always had tuner boards or video capture boards on my computers, WinTVs and all those, you know, whether they're ATI or Hodgepodge. And, you know, when we started CAG and CAG really got rolling and we were doing a lot of matches, it was just a lot of fun. And so you can see a lot of that history, that 8 years of history of multiplayer. Not all of it, to be sure, but some moments that I was involved in anyways, up on the Casual Adult Gamers YouTube channel. And just fun things like Battlefield 3 and Vegas and Forza and some of those. I wish I would have done a lot more, but that's why I bought it. And, you know, streaming is a nice way. Right now with an Xbox One, if you want to capture your game, right, you can do the game DVR, but somebody reminded me today that it was never expanded to 30 minutes. It's still apparently only 5 minutes, so that kind of stinks. And so how else do you record your match? You know, it's an HDMI out, so my old Hodgepodge ain't going to work. So do I have to buy one of these new devices? Or if I just stream it, then I can just move it over to YouTube if I want to keep it, right? So to me, streaming is not only a way to share your experience with, you know, with the people on the internet. Maybe somebody's interested in buying that game. They want to see what it looks like. But it's also a way to capture those moments and capture those matches, especially if the game doesn't have a recording feature like Halo typically does with those, you know, recording all the matches, like Destiny. You know, I've gotten several clips of Destiny 30 seconds here and there by saying, Xbox, record that, and that's great. But just to be able to stream that. And again, Twitch will delete them after so much time, so if you don't want to keep it, you don't have to worry about it. But so that's why I stream. I really just try to capture those fun moments so I can share them with my friends. I wish the game DVR was unlimited on the Xbox, well, until you ran out of space, but because that would do a lot of what I not wanted to do. You know, I have... on the PC, I've tried many different, there's all kinds of different programs to record what you're doing. What was the popular one? I know I have a lifetime subscription to it, but I haven't used it in years. And, you know, it seems like using Twitch is so much easier. Again, I'm still trying to get the PC side working perfectly. But, you don't have to go out and buy that expensive hardware, right? So that's my whole purpose, just trying to capture those fun moments with friends.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I am. You know, I originally got into streaming. Well, I partially got into it, you know, because I was writing for websites, and that was a thing that we were doing, you know, to accentuate or augment game reviews. Was posting the video, and I had a whole kind of framework about how I did reviews, where I would, you know, do the first hour, do like a midway point, and then do my final thoughts. But yeah, a lot of it is because, and we've talked about it on this show before, how, you know, a lot of time there's this water cooler effect, right, where you go to work the next day, or you see your buddies, and you're talking to them about a game that you've played that they haven't, and I went through this a lot with Max Payne, because Max Payne just had the original, just had some very cinematic sequences with the bullet time and all that, and just...
Bullet time.
yeah, so awesome. And just trying to convey to people, like, the awesomeness of that game and the fluidity of movement. There were so many times where I was like, I just want to be able, you know, I would describe a thing that had happened when I was playing the game the night before, and it would sound like I was talking about a movie, and I just wanted to be able to, like, point them to a video, right, to go see it. But then also, like you mentioned, I just want, there are so many times that that I'm playing and, like, something incredible happens, or, and I'm not a great gamer, but you have a great gaming movement, right? You make an absolutely awesome pass, like in Forza, or, you know, you pull out a last-minute win, and it's a, you know, and it's a, you know, it's a hairline finish. You know, you beat the opposing car by, you know, less than a tenth of a second or something. And I just want to be able to capture a lot of that stuff. So when I was using OBS, a lot of what I was doing was I was just recording off to an external hard drive. You know, but then, as I'm doing with a lot of things, you know, you mentioned, you know, there was a point where you became, you know, disenamored with the concept of, like, stacking all these boxes of games. You know, I've definitely gone through that where I don't want DVD cases around anymore. I hate having this huge Mongo CD wallet full of movies. And I've gotten to this point, you know, with movies, you know, just to make an analogy of where I'm just like, look, I'll pay Amazon, you know, $10 a month or whatever to have them have a big digital warehouse of, like, every movie that I want to see, or Netflix. And so the point being that I'm also less enamored with the concept of having terabytes and terabytes of storage around here where I have all these games. I would just as soon just stream that stuff, let Twitch pay to have the storage to house all of it, and then push it over to YouTube. And, you know, a big part of what I want to do is just when the Xbox One generation is over, right, and we're on to the next thing, it'll be awesome to have this collection of videos where I can go back and say, ah, man, you remember how great, like, you know, Forza Horizon 2 was, or whatever. So yeah, I'm the same way. So I'm doing a lot of the things that are kind of in the zeitgeist now and are the expectation of what you do as a streamer. But at the end of the day, I'm really streaming it, like, for me, you know, and maybe, you know, other buddies who may want to see it. So, yeah, it's tough to balance, you know, how much of the stuff that, you know, as a streamer, you know, the world says you're supposed to do, versus how much you're actually going to do. And it's really interesting that you mentioned the hardware solution. I definitely spent some time messing with OBS, trying to get that to work. Now I'm using XSplit, which is free, so I haven't had to pay anything for that, and it does, you know, 96% of what I need it to do, but I'm trying to get around this audio mix problem, and I'm kind of at a point where I'm tired of trying to figure it out, and I'm wondering if just going to a hardware solution will just alleviate the whole problem.
Yeah, I'm very intrigued with, I think it's the Elgato, which is the big one with the HDMI in and out, and, you know, it's intriguing, but again, it's, you know, it's you know, it's more money down, and, you know, how much will you use it? You know, I want to go back to something what you said about the water cooler, and I think it's so true. You know, I think about it, when I take a picture of my grandkids or my family on my phone, why do I instantly share that on Facebook? Because if it just sits on my phone forever, what good is that? And who knows, next time my phone's going to get wiped by accident and all those memories are gone. So it's that second storage area, but it also allows, you know, commenting on it and going back and forth with, maybe my daughter wasn't there and she can comment on it, or my son's in the Marines and he can see it and kind of keep up to date with what the family's doing. And I think the same is true with gaming. So, you know, I got a lot of friends getting Black Ops 3. I'm going to pass on Black Ops 3 because I'm doing the Battlefront Halo thing. But, you know, it'll be great to see their clips and be able to stay in touch and see how they're doing. And you know, I think there's a huge part of that, you know, wanting to share that experience. Not everybody can play every game with you. And also, you know, just being able to go back and look at it again, you know. And it allows you to filter it out. You know, they're, you know, with time, you'll know which ones you want to save and which ones you really don't care about. But it's a lot of fun. You know, it's funny. I have almost every time I play a game of StarCraft, which I used to play with my kids, you know, 10, 15 years ago when they were still all home, I would save every replay. And my wife said, why do you save every replay? I'm like, I have no idea, but all I have to do is hit the save button and it saves it. So it'd be fun to go back and see when me and my buddy Tom played back. in 98, you know, we were playing a match to see what I did. Will I ever have time to do that? Probably not, but you know, those files are tiny compared to you know, high definition video today. You know, we don't have our 100 terabyte drives yet, solid state drives yet, so it takes up room. So I don't know, putting it up on letting Twitch store it for how many days they store it, gives you a nice filter so you can choose you know, what to export to YouTube and what not to. But hey, I noticed you had a couple of stories. I don't think we got to them. Did we get to those stories last week? I know last week was kind of abbreviated because we had so much to talk about. Do you have any news stories left for this week that you want to talk about, aside from streaming?
No, not particularly. Last week we were going to talk about some of the news that had dropped about, you know, how exactly Halo 5 multiplayer was going to work. And I had a news story about NVIDIA's game-ready drivers, which we can bypass those this week. I had one story about Microsoft's CEO. We can skip that, and something about the division. If it's okay with you, I've got a couple more things that I just want to kind of riff on about the things we've been talking about that I want to run by you, if that's okay.
Yeah, let's do that, and then we'll wrap it up as we're closing in on that 1 hour mark. So go ahead.
Yeah. So one of the things that's come up as we've been talking, and some of these things were in my queue as I was coming on, is, you know, it's the holiday season, right? So there's, you know, we talked a lot about what games we needed to pick up. You know, I'm hitting some other things that are kind of coming to the fore. You know, number one, so I did pre-order Halo 5, so that's sitting on my Xbox One hard drive right now, waiting for the starting gun to go off at 12:01 tomorrow morning. It occurred to me that because we're obviously about to encounter a rampant uptick in CAG gameplay in Halo 5, I suspect that I would be well served by also getting the Master Chief Collection, because I'm guessing as much as we'll be playing Halo 5, that's also going to encourage people to dive back into Master Chief Collection for some multiplayer. So I'm thinking I'm going to do that. Also, based on your guys' pitches and some questions I asked a Poisoned Raptor on Xbox Live, I did not realize that on Forza 6 you can fill out the field with AI cars. So even if there's only like 4 or 5 of you playing, you can have a full field populated by AI. So have you been part of that crew that's playing that way on CAG?
Oh, yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. Well, for the first time last night. But yeah, that was pretty awesome.
No, that's cool. That's cool. You know, because these days in particular, I hearken so much back to the way Project Gotham Racing was, and that was a thing you could do then. You could have AI cars, and it seems like racing games went away from that. So getting that response from Poison Raptor and also hearing you talk about Forza 6, you know, as far as your experience with the gameplay, not necessarily with the online, encourage me. So I'm downloading Forza 6 right now. I went ahead and plunked down. This is also a first for me. I went ahead and plunked down for the Ultimate Edition. First time I've ever bought an Ultimate Edition, I think, of any game ever. So it has all of the DLC car packs that launched that became available shortly after launch. So I think that's like 42 cars or something like that, in addition to what's in the game. And it also included a VIP pass, which is another 42 cars over the next 6 months. So it's 7 new cars per month for the first 6 months. So I'm looking forward to that. All of that. So those 3 titles that I feel like that I've either already grabbed and that I feel like I need to go grab Master Chief Collection, I'm hitting my hard drive limit. So tonight when I went to grab Forza 6, I had 36 gigs left. Forza 6 needs 46. So I had to delete some stuff, including Wolfenstein The New Order, which I bought a very long time ago, and I've never played, but it's been sitting on my hard drive. But I want to get that back on. So have you hit your limit on storage, and what have you done to augment your Xbox One storage?
You know, that's a great question. I have hit my limit, and I actually deleted Destiny. We've had several discussions about how much I love Destiny and how much I'm looking for all my missing bounties and content from my first two DLCs. But yeah, I deleted Destiny. A great, phenomenal game. It was really almost the only thing I played for a year. So I moved that. I needed the space. I need to find the external hard drive. I put some, we have an affiliate link with Amazon to earn CAG and Band of Gamers a little money to pay for hosting. And I've posted some affiliate links to recommended hard drives from some of the big gaming sites up on CAG. But I haven't pulled the trigger on any of them yet. I'm kind of being a penny pincher. I need to add one. I need to add one to it because, 500 gigs is not enough when you have 7-8 digital games, you know?
Yeah. And I also have an article up on the site about my recent problems upgrading my PS4's hard drive and a lot of kind of the very non-intuitive things that are definitely kind of sucker punches when you go to do that update because it's not patently obvious, at least it wasn't to me on the PS4, about the differences between the firmware update file versus the full firmware that you have to have to place on that new hard drive if you're going to swap your whole hard drive out. But I recently bumped my PS4 hard drive up to a terabyte. Obviously, I don't think you can replace the Xbox One's hard drive, but of course it has the ability to extend your storage. But yeah, I'm definitely hitting the point where I need to do that. But it also, definitely confirms my feelings I had at the launch of both of these consoles. That at that point in 2013, launching those two consoles with 500 gigabyte hard drives, I just felt like was just a poor product move. I know that was a significant bump over what those two consoles had in the previous generation. I mean, great Scott, my original Xbox 360 was the 20-gigabyte version. My original PlayStation 3 was the 20-gigabyte version. I just knew that, 500 gigs was going to be too little.
Yeah, they had to, they're launching in 2013, which means all the deals had to be done in 2012, and terabytes were not cheap in 2012. So it was just bad timing. I mean, there's nothing they could do about it, but now you're seeing $350 consoles with terabytes in them, or if you're not, you'll see them soon. And I think even a terabyte's going to be a little small. There's that big debate. Should you get the 2 terabyte where you don't need any external power, or get the 4 terabyte where you can get the external power? And with there's supposed to be a new DVR, TV DVR, that's supposed to work exceptionally well with the external hard drives. So, I'm leaning towards more of a 4 or 5 or 6 terabyte. And then, you just got to be so sales conscious. I'll probably ask for one for the holidays. Wait for Black Friday to pick one up and have it tucked under the tree, and try to survive until then. Because if they're going to add, additional DVR capabilities to the unit, that could be cool. But that'll suck up the terabytes.
Right. So I'm good, man. I think that covers it for me for this week. I guess the only other thing I'd say is, like you mentioned, I think I'm going to be looking at a 5 terabyte drive just because I want to buy this thing once and never have to buy it again. And I was already targeting a 5 terabyte drive to be a backup to this 4-bay USB 3.0 cage that I use as my primary data backup for my PCs. So yeah, I think I'll be looking at a 5 terabyte drive. But I think I'm definitely at the point. I mean, like I said, I'm pulling down Forza 6 now. I'm pretty sure I'm going to grab Halo Master Chief Collection. And now we're into the holiday season, so I really... really have no idea how much more storage I'm going to need with Rainbow Six Siege coming out and the Division being right around the corner. Saw that there's going to actually be a beta for that in December, by the way, today. So, and you need storage space even for betas. So yeah, I think I definitely need to go ahead and plunk down to expand my Xbox One storage.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the big story here this fall. Is everybody's going to be buying that external USB hard drive for their Xbox Ones with all these great games coming out. Well, Zeus, man, it was a great pleasure talking to you again. I'm glad to have you on the podcast again. And I think that is going to wrap it up for this show. If any of you listening want to get in on the conversation with us, we'd love to have you. You can send us an email at podcast@bandofgamers.net, or you can just comment on the blog post at bandofgamers.net, or You can tweet us at BandaGamersNet, no dot. Or you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/BandofGamers.net. Or Google Plus, just search for Band of Gamers on Google Plus and you should find us. We have all of us standing up on the ridgeline on the moon in our Destiny outfits, kind of like the Band of Brothers, look going there. And, let us know what you're thinking. Tell us if you agree or disagree, or, come over to Casual Adult Gamers and jump in a Forza match with us, or, Halo 5, Battlefront, Rainbow Six Siege. Please, we're a great group of guys and gals, and I think you'll have a really good time. Well, that's it. On behalf of Zeus Adamus and myself, Greylock 3491, I want to thank you for listening to another week's show. And until the next time we talk, peace.